G'day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we are going to go ahead and continue with our class, The Great Mercy of God. And we're going to continue, as we have been in our past few classes, just with El Shaddai and Christ crucified. And we're still in Genesis chapter 17. And for this class, I wanted to just look at the blessing, and the blessing of Isaac versus the blessing of Ishmael, because Ishmael was blessed of God. All right, so we're going to be looking at that. We're going to look at a few commentaries. Then we're going to look at a few passages in the scripture where there is the name change. All right, so our main text is Genesis chapter 17. Currently, it is verse 18 to verse 22. So, I'll just go ahead and begin. And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Then God said, "No. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish," and that's the word we've been looking at for a while, "I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with and with his seed after him." Verse 20, "And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation." Now, just up to that point in reading that, that blessing to Ishmael, because the Lord, he hears Abraham's cry, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you, before your face. Behold, I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation." If you just read just that verse and leave out "and as for Ishmael," then that verse almost appears to be the blessing of God for Abraham, for Isaac, and for Jacob. If you just read this, "I blessed him, I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, I will make him a great nation." It's almost, almost identical to the blessing of the promised son, of the son of promise. But that "almost," brothers and sisters, is so far removed as the earth is from the heavens above. The blessing of Ishmael, and we're going to look at this here in a second. The blessing of Ishmael, because God did indeed bless him, the blessing of Ishmael is a temporal blessing. It's not perpetual. It's not everlasting. It's not eternal. Whereas the blessing of Isaac is an eternal blessing, because the blessing of Isaac is ultimately fulfilled in the person of Christ himself, who is the eternal I Am. The blessing of Ishmael is one that will always be seen with a natural eye, heard with a natural ear, and understood with a natural mind. It will always be grasped, acknowledged, and known by the natural senses. The blessing of Isaac may or may not be. You may see, you may see the effects of it, but the actual blessing, who is Christ himself, cannot be seen with a natural eye. Even in Jesus' day, he asks his disciples concerning the multitudes, "Who do you say that I am?" Finally, he asks his own disciples, "Now, who do you say that I am?" Of course, we know when Peter finally confesses, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus rejoices and he says this, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you." The means by which you received this knowledge was not natural, was not from below. But he says, "But my Father above, my Father in heaven has revealed this unto you above." So the blessing of Isaac is an eternal blessing, my brothers and sisters. And please understand, in God's tender mercy and ever abounding grace, every single one who has been born again has been blessed of God with this very one. Going on, where were we? Verse 21, or well, I'll start with verse 20 again. "And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation." Verse 21, "But my covenant," this everlasting covenant, this eternal covenant, God's covenant, not man's covenant, not what man brings, no. "But my covenant I will establish," there's our word again, "with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at at this set time next year." Verse 22, "Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham." All right, this is the Jewish study Bible for Genesis chapter 17, verses 19 through 21. Unlike its parallel in chapter 15, this passage right here, where God is declaring the sea, the air, the sun, the account in Genesis, or unlike its parallel in chapter 15 of the Yahwist source, the priestly source of Genesis chapter 17 of the Abrahamic covenant specifies Sarah as the mother of the promised son. So in Genesis chapter 15, God just says a son, the son of promise, but God doesn't make it very specific to Abraham, or Abram at the time, that it will be Sarah or Sarai at that time. Why? I don't know. Maybe because Sarai's name had not yet been changed by the Lord to Sarah. Something to think about. Something to present unto the Lord. It goes on, the Jewish Study Bible goes on concerning the Abrahamic covenant specifies Sarah in Genesis chapter 17 as the mother of the promised son and thus makes her indispensable to the fulfillment of the promise to her husband. So now the Lord basically says, this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it, basically. And here are all the, gosh, I don't even know the word. I don't know a word for it. Here's Sarah, and through Sarah, who shall bear a son. And so it goes on, the natural impossibility of Sarah giving birth at the age of 90, not to mention her lifelong infertility, because remember, she was barren. She was barren. She knew she was barren. Abram knew she was barren. The whole household knew she was barren. The natural impossibility of her giving birth at 90, not to mention her lifelong infertility, only highlights the supernatural character of Isaac and the nation descended from him. The supernatural character of Isaac, basically saying, this one came by means of a miracle. This one came by means of El Shaddai, God's ability and not man's. Because man's ability, we already know, brothers and sisters, is called Ishmael. Not what the Lord intended, not what the Lord was after. Okay, it goes on. Ishmael, however, is not disposed. Basically, he's not deprived of a possession. Because the Lord blesses him. But remember once again, that blessing is in comparison to the blessing of Isaac, incomparable, uncomparable. The blessing of, now these are my comments, the blessing of Ishmael are removed from God. And I'm going to explain this in a second. The blessing of Isaac and the seed of Abraham is because of God, is all-encompassing in Christ himself. With the blessing of Ishmael, listen, with the blessing of Ishmael, Christ is out of the picture. Christ is more of a means to an end. But with the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Isaac, the blessing of Israel, Jacob, this covenant blessing, this eternal blessing, this perpetual blessing, Christ is in the very center of it and is never lost sight of. Remember, what governed the house of Abraham is what governs the house of God. The heart of Abraham was submitted unto the purpose of the Lord, unto that which governs the house of God. Therefore, the household of Abraham was submitted as well. Therefore, the son of Abraham, Isaac, was submitted unto this very purpose as well. And therefore, the son of Isaac, Jacob, was submitted unto this very purpose as well. God was central to this. He wasn't just in the picture, brothers and sisters. If apart from him, there was no picture in this blessing. So then everything becomes the means to this one end. I'm looking at the scriptures. The scriptures are the means of beholding the blessing of God, who Christ himself is. The scriptures, the testimony, to direct our heart and bring our heart unto the person himself, the true blessing of God. Christ is central in this blessing. Apart from him, brothers and sisters, there is no blessing for those called of God according to his purpose. So, once again, with Ishmael, God is not in the center. God is not at the core. But with the blessing of Isaac, the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Jacob, the blessing of Israel, God is central. Apart from him, there is nothing. All right. This commentary goes on, the Jewish Study Bible, it goes on to say, whereas only Isaac inherits the covenant and its attendant promise of land. Only Isaac inherits the covenant, the perpetual covenant, the eternal covenant, the everlasting covenant, who is Christ himself. His inheritance, the covenant. His inheritance, the Lord. I mean, and the Lord spoke this in different times throughout the Old Testament. I'm just thinking of to Abraham. I am thy shield, thy exceedingly great reward. And then he speaks concerning Aaron and the Levites, the priests. I am their inheritance. They have no inheritance below. I am the Lord is their inheritance. A greater inheritance, brothers and sisters, the Lord himself. And I know that in the New Testament, I think it's the epistles of Peter, that God has made us kings and priests unto our God. He is our inheritance, he himself. That's an awesome, an awesome thing right there, an awesome statement. It goes on, Ishmael, the Jewish Study Bible, Ishmael inherits a large measure of the Abrahamic promise. I would say, well, no, not quite. The Abrahamic promise is according to purpose. Ishmael, my brothers and sisters, is not according to purpose. The Abrahamic promise is an eternal promise because its fulfillment is an eternal son. So it goes on, likewise, his nephew Jacob, Ishmael's nephew Jacob, he will become the patriarch of a 12-tribe confederation and thus the father of a great nation. So just real quick, because I read that in the Jewish Study Bible. Here's on my diagram I've got, here's Abraham, here's Ishmael, here's Isaac. Remember, think of Jesus Christ and him crucified. God blesses Ishmael. Ishmael will beget 12 princes. Fruitful, multiply, exceedingly great nation. God says the blessing, the covenant blessing, is for Isaac, who in testimony we will see, and in type, which we will see in a moment, falls into the ground and dies, and brings forth much fruit, increase, fruitfulness, a great nation. With one, there is a blessing, and I'll probably repeat this again in one of my commentaries here. With the first, there is a blessing with no knowledge of the death and burial of Christ. Therefore, it is a temporal blessing. It is a blessing found and bound to time. With the second, this blessing is fulfilled because of and by a death and a burial. Now, having said that, I must say this. I do believe, brothers and sisters, that God blesses us naturally. I do believe that he will provide whatever is needed. He will work a miracle when a miracle is needed. He will provide healing when healing is needed. But I also know, and you've heard me say this before, that if the thing, T-H-I-N-G, whatever it is of God, then it is without doubt designed of God to direct the heart unto Christ, his Son. Do you see? Blessing unto the true blessing versus just a blessing in and of itself. Ishmael was not one who would dwell in the household, was not one who would submit to that which governs the house. He was constantly outside. Isaac, his heart submitted unto that which governed the house. All right, going on. This is the Apologetics Study Bible, Holman Bible Publishers, for Genesis chapter 17, verse 19 through 21. It says, Abraham's prayer concerning Ishmael in verse 18 did not go unanswered. So when Abraham says, oh, that Ishmael might live before your face, God basically says no. And he says, but I'll still bless him. He goes on, the commentary goes on. just as there were 12 tribes of Israel, there were 12 tribes of Ishmael. But remember, brothers and sisters, it didn't say, and we read it, there were not 12 tribes of Isaac. Isaac, being a testimony of Christ, fell into the ground and died and brought forth much fruit. It goes on, the Apologetic Study Bible goes on to say, the difference between the two was God's sovereign choice of Isaac's descendants as his covenant people. This was the difference. The covenant which God established, the everlasting covenant, the eternal covenant, this is the difference. It's almost like Jacob and Esau. Esau, who sold his birthright, who didn't see the value, the true value of the eternal birthright. But Jacob, to whatever degree, did. Now, I know the character of Jacob at that point, which we're going to get to in a little bit. But nonetheless, and well, we'll see it. I'll probably make this comment later on as well. But here's the situation. Here's the thing with this temporal blessing. A temporal blessing has and finds its value in the earth below. But the true blessing, the eternal blessing, is above, and the heavens find only value, only worth in this one who is Christ the Son. So all the heavens worship him. All right, now I'll probably say that in a better way here when I get to this next commentary. Oh, yes. This is my commentary concerning Genesis chapter 17, verses 19 through 22. First and foremost, the testimony of Christ must be maintained. So that's why you have the death, burial, and resurrection. Eternal covenant, eternal blessing. Ishmael, from Ishmael come 12, from Isaac in his death and burial comes the increase of Israel. All right. With Ishmael there is blessing, going on with my commentary, with Ishmael there is blessing, but it is temporal and earthly. The first man of the earth, earthy, the second man, the Lord from heaven. First man of the earth, earthy, the second man, the Lord from heaven. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47. With Ishmael there is blessing, but it is temporal and earthy. Its value is based upon that which is passing, unlike the true value and worth that is found in the heavens, being Christ himself. There's the better way of saying it. All right, going on. Concerning the blessing of Ishmael, it is fruitfulness without knowledge of Christ crucified. There is no eyewitness account. There is no beholding the true. There is no Christ in the center of everything. This is the extreme contrast of Abram to Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob to Israel. All of which came in their hearts by the work of the Lord from from I to not I, but Christ. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, which are testimonies of Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, the single seed, unto Christ, the glorified risen Son. Herein is found the eternal blessing and fruitfulness through death and burial. Now, I want us to look at a verse, a passage here. Let's look at John chapter 12, because here the passage, here those testimonies of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are actually brought to their fulfillment in the person of Christ himself. John chapter 12, verse 23. I hit John chapter 12, verse 12. All right. Okay, starting with verse 21. Let me mark that down, verse 21. Starting with verse 21. Then they came to Philip. These were some Galileans. I'll just put verse 20. Let's go ahead and read verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among Gentiles, among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." So they were some Greeks. They were Gentiles. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answering them, saying, this is what Jesus says, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." He's speaking of himself. "Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour has come that the Son of Man," Jesus did not say the hour has come that you, or you, my disciples, or you, my close ones, or you, my apostles, no, that the Son of Man, very important. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain, much fruit. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Fruitfulness through death and burial." The fruitfulness, my brothers and sisters, is the resurrection. He goes on. "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Okay, goes on. Verse 27, now my soul is troubled. Not their soul. "My soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose came I to this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour." It's going to be very significant here in a little bit. "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified and will glorify it again." Picking up with verse 32. "And I," this is Jesus still speaking, "and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Verse 33. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The eternal blessing and fruitfulness through death and burial. The ultimate fulfillment of these testimonies of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Christ himself. All right, my commentary goes on to say, "Israel, the glorified seed in resurrection, is the increase of Isaac." Because Isaac, in testimony, fell into the ground and died. And we're going to read that here in a little bit. The single seed, Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 through 19, which we will read, just as Israel, the firstborn, another testimony, the firstborn from among the dead, that is from Egypt, You can see that in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, when Israel was in Egypt, is the increase of Joseph, the beloved son. Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, and Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. Because remember, the father sent his beloved son unto his own, unto his brethren, his own. His own received him not. In fact, they were envious of him, so much so that it drove them to, in testimony, slay him. They showed the blood of his coat to the father. The father acknowledges the blood. My son is dead. And what is dead, brothers and sisters, must be buried. He is sent to Egypt, the abode of the dead. There's a single seed right there. Falls into the ground and dies. And then 400 years later, the Lord in testimony of the resurrection takes 400 years to get an inkling of the resurrection of Christ. 400 years. You have the resurrection of Joseph, the beloved son, coming out from among the dead, from the burial. They brought his bones. Resurrection. All right. So now let's go ahead and read a few verses, passages here. This is Abram's name changed to Abraham. And remember, when there's a name change in the scriptures, basically what's happening is that the heart, by the work of the Spirit, is being brought to a knowledge of the truth, a knowledge of reality, where the heart comes from I and the knowledge of man unto not I, but Christ, the knowledge of God, who is Christ himself. That is what the name change implies. When the heart comes by work of the Holy Spirit unto where God, at the moment of new birth, by the work of his Spirit, has brought the soul at the moment of new birth. So Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. And remember, it all began, the change, the eternal change came to Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. This is when the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. This is the testimony of Stephen, I think, Acts chapter 7. Now, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham. That's the difference right there. And said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before my face. Walk before me. I'm Almighty God. And be blameless. Verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Verse 3. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Here we go, verse 5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Verse 6. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. But see, all this is in context of my covenant. The covenant of the Lord, the perpetual covenant, the eternal covenant, the everlasting covenant. That's the difference. I will make you exceedingly fruitful and will make nations of you, and kings, not princes, but kings, shall come from you. Verse 7, and I will establish, and that's the word we've been looking at, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendant, your seed after you. Also I give you and your seed after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, once again, our soul, I've said this before, first and foremost, our soul is the land of promise, the land that is promised to the seed, to the heir. to the Son, who is Christ himself. This is our soul, brothers and sisters, his inheritance. We are his inheritance, but bound up with us being his inheritance, once again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the class, he himself is our inheritance. Christ himself, who is the land of the living, the one unto whom we are brought, when he unto whom we are brought is birthed in our soul. And our inheritance, just as Abraham, as we see with the journey of Abraham, our inheritance is Christ himself, discovering the one who is eternally present in the land since the moment the God of glory first appears. This is the moment of new birth. Okay, going on. Also I give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. And here's the key, I will be their God. I will be their God. Bound with the everlasting covenant, the eternal covenant, the true God will be their God. All right. Now this is with the next passage has to do with Jacob's name being changed to Israel. So with Abram to Abraham, you have to whatever measure, to whatever degree, the heart of Abraham now, coming to the knowledge of not I, but Christ, by the ability of God, El Shaddai. Because Abram could not do this before, brothers and sisters. All right. Verse 24 of Genesis chapter 32, then Jacob was left alone. And the whole context of this is that he's coming back to the land. The Lord basically brings him back, declares, hey, return now to your land, to the land I have given you. And Jacob is about to face his brother Esau. And we all know at the departing of Jacob, the situation between Esau and Jacob was not good. So, verse 24, then Jacob was left alone. And there's one of the key words, alone. The Lord brings us to this knowledge of himself, brothers and sisters. Right, or at least right here with Jacob, he was alone. Can the Lord do it in a group? The Lord can do anything he wants. He is El Shaddai. But our example right here is with Jacob, and he was left alone. Okay? And a man wrestled with him, and I love this, until the breaking of the day, until the day dawned, the day star arise in your heart. Because before it was darkness and ignorance and man going about his own way, governed by darkness, governed by ignorance, his heart submitted unto that which is below. But here, brothers and sisters, the heart, that unto which the heart is submitted, is about to change. Verse 25, now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. Verse 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Here we go. Here's Jacob speaking in ignorance. His heart still submitted unto the ways of man, the way man does things. So it is still not in his heart. In his heart, it is still not I, but Christ. All right? Bless me. God cannot bless that. God does not want to give, listen, temporal blessing unto that which he himself has called in purpose. God desires to make known his eternal blessing, the inheritance of the ones whom he himself has called. Verse 20, so he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, verse 28, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, not I, but Christ. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Verse 29, then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, what is that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. After the change from Jacob to Israel, he blessed him there. Eternal blessing, perpetual blessing, everlasting blessing. The blessing with purpose. Verse 30, so Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. And this is why. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Basically, that which I thought was my life was snatched away in beholding the one who is my life. The order, once again, the spirit. This is a spiritual order, brothers and sisters. It is confessed by Job in the book of Job. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. First, at the moment of reality, the Lord giveth life unto the soul. The Lord giveth his blessing, his eternal blessing unto the soul, who is Christ himself. And in life being present, death is taken away. Now, that's reality. But also the same order is in the knowledge of reality. The Lord giveth the knowledge of the truth. And when the truth is present, brothers and sisters, in knowledge, then ignorance is taken away. Not I, but Christ. Tremendous. Verse 31, just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him. The sun rose on him. And he limped on his hip. That is not my way of walking below any longer, not I, but walking before the face of God by the power and ability of El Shaddai, the Almighty. Not walking by my ability, but by the ability of another. As to the ability of man, man's ability has been crippled. And I go forth in the ability of another, even El Shaddai, not I, but Christ. Of course, the brook Jabbok that he crossed is part of the Jordan. It flows into the Jordan River. And the Jordan River is that very understanding, brothers and sisters. It is an understanding of the reality that has already taken place, the moment of new birth, the moment the God of glory appears. Okay, so now let's look at Genesis chapter 22. This is Isaac, but his name remains the same. All right. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am, verse 2. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning. Wow, no hesitation upon Abraham's heart. Because Abram, by this point, had already been walking before the face of El Shaddai for a while. In the knowledge of El Shaddai for a while. Okay? So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men, two of his servants, brothers and sisters. Herein is the testimony established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. This was important that Abraham took two of his servants, two of his men. Very important. Going on with him and two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Verse 4. Then on the third day, very specific, very important, very significant here, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. brothers and sisters, he saw the death and burial and resurrection. That is 3 days in the scripture. But he saw it from afar off, and yet he still saw it. He saw Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 5, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship. And in faith, he declares, and we will come back to you. Verse 6, so Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on his son. The wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son. And I don't have to go into detail. You know, this is a beautiful picture of the only begotten son bearing the cross for his crucifixion when the beam was laid upon him. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Verse 7, but Isaac spoke. Isaac spoke. Now, in this whole entire passage, I want you to take note of this. This is the only time Isaac speaks. In this whole entire passage right here, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering. See, something has already been established in the heart of Abraham concerning El Shaddai. Therefore, what God requires, Abraham knows that God alone must realize. El Shaddai. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar and there placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. He fastened him to the wood. There is no mention of the scriptures of Isaac saying, what are you doing? No, no. Abraham, who is type of God the Father, when he declared, El Shaddai will provide for himself what is required, what is needed, that was good enough for Isaac. He believed his father. He believed in the word of his father and trusted in his father and in the ability of El Shaddai. So much so that he was willing, in testimony, to die in the purpose and desire of God. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, because in Abraham's heart, his son was already dead. He had already experienced that death in his heart. And now it was just a matter of carrying out what had already taken place in his heart. Verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. Verse 12, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. That which the Lord requires, that which the Lord desires, God and God alone must realize. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Now I want us to jump to Genesis chapter 22. We're already there. A little further down with verse 19. So Abraham, look at this. God says, because you've done this, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Verse 19, look at this, brothers and sisters. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Whoa, Abraham returned to his young men. What about Isaac? My brothers and sisters, in testimony, Isaac died. But because there are two, herein is the witness of the resurrection. They witnessed the resurrection. Isaac didn't come back, but Christ. Tremendous testimony of Jesus Christ and Him crucified that Abraham experienced, that Isaac experienced, and that two of Abraham's servants, young men, were witnesses of. Being witnesses of the same resurrection that Abraham, both Abraham and Isaac, experienced in their heart in knowledge. Tremendous, brothers and sisters, tremendous testimony of Christ in these passages. All wrapped up and bound up in the eternal covenant, who is Christ Himself. So please present all of this to the Holy Spirit. May the Spirit of the Lord take that which He desires to take, to use it for God's own end and God's own purpose. Amen? Amen. The Lord bless. We'll see you in our next class. Amen.